This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's not clear who is in control of a federal agency this morning as a fight over consumer protection hits the courts. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Who's the boss? I can borrow from an 80s sitcom to describe the weird situation at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau today. That's the watchdog agency created after the financial crisis to watch over banks and other companies. Now, on Friday, outgoing director Richard Cordray named a longtime CFPB staffer named Leandra English as his replacement. But President Trump has also ordered his budget director, Mick Mulvaney, to assume command. Joining us live here to talk about this unfolding showdown at the CFPB corral is Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. Dan, start with last night.
Right. Well, late last night, David, Leandra English filed a lawsuit to block Mulvaney from stepping in. And she says the Dodd-Frank legislation intentionally gave the agency a lot of independence, so much so that the head of the bureau actually is one of just a few federal officials the president cannot fire at will. And the actual wording of Dodd-Frank says, quote, in the absence of or unavailability of the director, the deputy director takes over.
Okay. And what is the White House's basis for naming the top spot?
Sure. In a memo from the Justice Department, lawyers say something called the Federal Vacancies Reform Act supersedes Dodd-Frank, giving the president the authority to name a successor. In a bit of a twist, CFPB's own legal counsel is siding with the president, saying the White House is right on this one. Now, the president's formal nomination, expected soon, will have to go to Congress. David, a process that could take some months. In the meantime, it's going to be up to the courts to decide who is right.
All right, so we'll see who actually gets in the front door today, but what's at stake?
So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was set up to make sure consumers weren't getting hurt by credit card companies, banks, payday lenders, and student loan servicers. Since its inception, it delivered $12 billion in refunds and canceled various debts for 29 million people. President Trump has been crystal clear. He wants to ease off on regulating business and Wall Street in particular. And if Mick Mulvaney does take control, we'll probably start to see that happen immediately. If English wins, then the agency is going to continue to put pressure on financial institutions in a way that Republicans think is bad for business and Democrats like says is good for people.
All right. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you very much. Let us do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.1%, plus 29 points for the Dow future. 10-year bond yield is up at 2.34%. The media company Meredith has made its move, offering $1.9 billion to buy Time Incorporated. Meredith is based in Des Moines and does Better Homes and Gardens. Time Inc. does, along with Time Magazine, Sports Illustrated, Fortune, People, and a lot more. The deal is being backed by the billionaire Koch brothers. Note that Koch Industries is one of Marketplace's underwriters. All of this digital, cutting-edge, connected future stuff is very well and good, but show me the money. One of America's most influential companies, General Electric, had been getting all Silicon Valley on us, but now under new leadership, things seem to be changing again. Patrick Fowles is New York Bureau Chief for The Economist magazine, and he's here with this culture of business story. Good morning.
Morning, David.
What do we have here? Culture change at the top?
More than culture change, a revolution, I think, throughout the company. I mean, a year ago, GE, under Mr. Immelt, the previous boss, seemed to be pivoting away from its industrial heritage to become a more digital company. And it's become clear that beneath the bonnet, the engine was misfiring spectacularly. So Mr. Flannery has to get the company working again in really the most basic way. It's missed all of its profits targets and really seems very lost indeed.
So a return to the hard-nosed ways of the famous CEO from the 90s, Jack Welch?
Yeah, well, he had a motto which was, I think, cash is king, be transparent, and buy or bury your competitors, which was a kind of macho way of thinking about the company. And Flannery is definitely a kind of back-to-basics guy, and he signaled very clearly that he's looking for kind of financial discipline and the company to hit its numbers, which does sound in many ways a lot like the Welch era.
Well, I remember you would hear tales during the Welch era of when you sat down with a meeting with the CEO, Mr. Welch, you better have your ducks in a row and you better know what you're talking about. Some people would go off from the meeting, they told me, and throw up in the bathroom. It was so intense. And then there's this John Flannery who, as you say, is demanding accountability.
That's right. And in some ways, to be honest, it is justified. I mean, Immelt's task was quite complicated. He had to shrink G's massive financial arm, which Jack Welch had grown and which blew up in the financial crisis. And once he'd done that, he was trying to pivot the company into new markets, into the energy markets, and also build up its digital business. But those sort of strategic long-term shifts really, I think, will take a back seat now because the name of the game is cutting costs. Just for argument's sake, if you slashed all of the digital experiments that Mr. Immelt did, profits at the company could easily double in the short term. And that's obviously quite attractive for a CEO who's sitting there with Wall Street and various investors breathing down his neck.
The piece in The Economist about the new approach at GE is called The Right Mechanic? Patrick Fowles, New York Bureau Chief for The Economist. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And maybe we should just call it Amazon Friday and Amazon Monday instead of Cyber Monday here. An outfit called GBH Insights has issued an estimate suggesting Amazon grabbed as much as half, 50%, of all of Black Friday's online sales. Also, Walmart's been trying hard to get its prices down near Amazon's. Today's the day we're supposed to shop using the boss's computers, either because no one has decent internet at home, or maybe it's the principle of why use perfectly good leisure time to do holiday shopping when you can use work time instead, or so says the biggest hypocrite in the world on this particular subject. In New York, I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.